Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Ray Fittipaldo going to join us in a second here. Brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Did you see Connor McDavid's brother?
No.
His name is Cam McDavid. He is 32 years old. He looks exactly the same as Connor.
Seriously.
Like, they get mistaken as twins all the time. Like, I would, if I were a betting man, and I am, I would bet that Cam McDavid has pretended to be Connor to get laid before. Like, that's how much these guys look alike.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? You can't, they're not discernible. Like, they look exactly the same. What a bad stroke of luck.
Oh, my goodness.
To be born from the same parents as Connor McDavid and your brother just routinely put up 100-point seasons in the NHL. Can't win the big one, but you're, what the hell does he do for a living?
Oh, that's like Frank Stallone.
Yeah. Is he ugly, Frank Stallone?
No, he's not, but he's Sylvester Stallone's brother and really never did anything.
And who's the Manning? Cooper Manning?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's his son, his arch, so he's actually winning now.
So now it's all worked out.
Yeah.
It skipped him, though. It goes to his son, it's his brothers, it's his dad, and he's the only one who doesn't get to play big-time football in the NFL?
Well, he got hurt. I heard he was a really good receiver.
Yeah, he wasn't a quarterback.
Right.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
It's a weird aside. Ray Fittipaldo joins us right now. What's going on, Ray?
Not too much, guys. Wasn't Cooper Manning was at Ole Miss, and I think Doran's right. I think he was actually like a stud receiver before he got hurt.
That's exactly right, but what have you done for me in the league, pal? I mean,
there you go.
Your two brothers are winning 4 combined Super Bowl championships, and your dad was one of the best quarterbacks on a losing team. I mean, get it together, and your son's going to go on, maybe, to NFL greatness. But I digress. Ray, the Steelers, they got it done with Deshaun Elliott. What's the latest on T.J. Watt?
Pretty quiet on T.J. Watt, to be honest with you. I don't see a resolution to that before training camp. As you guys know, this is the only time front offices can get away and spend some time with their family. So I don't expect much to go on in the next.
Yeah, but they
weeks.
Got it
we'll
done with Deshaun
happens.
Elliott, Ray. They were able to walk away from their families then.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, what, 2 or 3 days after minicamp ended. That wasn't and that one, honestly, they've been wanting to do that. Deshaun was so good last year. And that wasn't hard to do, right? Like, he was due to make $3 million. Now he's making $5 million a year. So that's not nearly as complicated as TJ. But, like, talking like about Deshaun, they now have 75% of their secondary under contract for the next 2 years. Now, we'll see if Minka plays out the final year of his deal. I think a lot's going to depend on how he plays this year, but they finally got some stability in the back end. They finally got a partner with Minka. Now, let's see if it can all come together.
Ray, do you think this defense will look different this year? And not just like really, you know, a whole different defense by Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, but T.J. Watt being in different positions, maybe Minka Fitzpatrick moving around, just some, you know, just more window dressing, I guess, if you will, by this defense this year.
Yeah, you don't want opposing offensive coordinators to be able to hone in on T.J. and scheme him out of games with chips and double teams and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. And it's interesting, you know, Gerald Alexander, the new secondary coach, did an interview last week, and he was just talking about being more opportunistic in the secondary. Now, the Steelers led the NFL in turnovers last year with 33 guys, but Joey Porter didn't have any picks. Minka only had one. So you figure if you can get those two guys going a little bit more, your already opportunistic defense could be really dangerous. So he was talking about, you know, Joey getting his eyes towards the ball, being more offensive minded instead of being so grabby with his hands. So, you know, I'm excited to see what Alexander can bring to that secondary, because if you look at it, I don't think the secondary has played up to the expectations when Grady Brown was the coach back there. And I think if Gerald Alexander can just get a little bit more out of those guys, I think the defense could take a turn for the better.
They were 26th in the league in pass defense last year, and Jalen Hurts absolutely shredded them. Patrick Mahomes absolutely shredded them, and you would think that that's not unforgivable, but it was the best game of the year that Patrick Mahomes had. It was at home at Acrisure Stadium when you felt like the Steelers needed to put their foot down. I feel like we spent so much of the offseason talking about the rush defense, Ray, because of how that playoff game went. I think the pass defense was more of an Achilles heel for him last year, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's almost like if the Steelers don't get pressure and the quarterback isn't hurried into a throw, they're not going to have a chance to make a play on the ball. Like they just sit back too much, and they're always okay with just giving up the yardage and making the teams travel the length of the field on them. So I think that's going to change a little bit. I think Alexander wants to be a little bit more aggressive. He certainly does with Joey. In terms of Minka, I don't know what the solution there is, guys. I mean, I don't want to say they seem content with him in his role right now, but I think they feel like the defense overall is better if they don't try to force him into situations where he can get more turnovers. So it's been 2 years now. I don't know if that's going to change. And as you guys know, that's a really big number for a guy who's not producing turnovers. I think he's 23.
Yeah.
Plus against the cap this year, that's a really big number. Hopefully that turns around. But every time we ask Terrell Austin about it or Gerald Alexander about it, they don't really harp on it too much. They just kind of feel like that's the way it is, and they got to kind of scheme around it.
Ray, Ryan Clark said yesterday that he looks at Mike Tomlin as an underachiever and also Aaron Rodgers as an underachiever. Do you think that there's truth to that? Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is considered an underachiever for his NFL career and what he has had in the moments he has embarked on and not come through on throughout his career? Do you think he's an underachiever?
Yeah, so he won his first Super Bowl in 2010 against the Steelers. And then correct me if I'm wrong, I think that next year they went 15-1.
Yep.
And they lost to the Giants, right, in the championship game or in the playoffs. I'm not sure which. And it just seems like after that, like when you miss that opportunity to go back-to-back or to get multiple ones, it's really hard to get back. Like you look at the second half of Ben's career, how good they were on offense, and, you know, they never got it done post Super Bowl 45. You know, they never won one after 43. So, yeah, I think in some ways Aaron underachieves in terms of Super Bowl championships and, you know, playoff performance, however you want to frame that. I do think there's a little bit to that. It's getting a little bit late. You know, it's kind of fantastical to say it'll happen with the Steelers this year, but I guess this is his one last shot to sort of rectify that.
I guess Mark Caboli said that he didn't pick up much of a difference between the way that Rodgers was throwing the football and the way that Mason Rudolph was throwing the football in minicamp. Do you agree with that assessment? And you can be as mean to Mark as you want to be.
I think I said
that. Yeah, that was Ray that said that.
Oh, well then what the hell are you looking at, Ray?
maybe Caboli said that too. No, I mean, God, they're all NFL quarterbacks. They could all throw the football. I mean, if you went out there, like Skylar Thompson can throw the football, and you're watching them throw on air. So I think the difference is once you get into preseason games and
get yourself, Ray. Take yourself out, Ray.
No, 11-11 stuff. It's, and Doran knows this, it's throwing in tight windows. It's knowing, you know, where the guys are going to be on defense so you don't get into trouble with interceptions. But, looking at these guys in minicamp, I mean, Mason looked really good. We didn't really get to see a lot from Aaron because he was just doing individual. But, we'll see what's up, come late July when they report to training camp.
I can't get over that I wanted you to make fun of Caboli, even though it was your take. So, thus, I wanted you to make fun of yourself. All right.
We can still make fun of Caboli, though.
Yeah, we can. Real quick here. So, they get Darius Slay up in here, and he's no spring chicken. Again, OTAs, mini camp, you're right. We're going to learn a lot more in training camp. But from what you've seen so far, is he going to fit more in the Patrick Peterson mold, or is he going to be more of the Joe Hayden kind of guy?
Well, I mean, Hayden came here like in his late 20s. So, yeah. I mean, that's, I don't even know if that's a fair comparison, but they keep punting on cornerback. And it's like year after year after year, like in March and April, we're talking about how they have to draft one and they don't do it. So they're just hoping for one good year out of them. They're hoping it's better than Patrick Peterson. They're hoping it's better than Dante Jackson. We'll see. But I'm sure after the season ends, guys, we're going to be talking about, in addition to all the college quarterbacks, we're going to be talking about the college cornerbacks who are coming out too, because they certainly need to address that.
Ray, Mark Caboli did say this on our show, that he thinks Caleb Johnson's going to be a star. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think Caleb Johnson's going to be really good in his rookie season. I don't know, you know, if he's going to be a star, but they finally have somebody who's going to fit Arthur Smith's offense. And, you know, last year with Najee, he's more of a power guy, and Arthur wanted to run the outside zone. So it's just never really worked from that perspective. So, listen, I think Jaylen Warren is going to start the season as RB1, but, you know, listen, by October, November, I think you're going to see an even split in the carries. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Caleb Johnson has 700-800 yards this year and looks really good in the process.
Raymond, this was wonderful. Sorry for insulting you, and we appreciate your time.
All good. See you guys.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, buddy.
I was just looking at you. I was like, wait a minute.
What?
Wait. That was Ray that said that. Mark said it too? I'm starting to question myself.
That's why I must have. I was Googling the hell out of it this morning, and I couldn't find it. And that's because I was attributing the opinion to the wrong Steelers insider.
You just wanted Mark to be wrong. You just wanted to crush Mark.
That's right. That's one of my favorite pastimes, is ripping on Mark Caboli, even though we love him.
But with what Ray said, though, you can't tell the difference, though. You know, they are NFL quarterbacks, and the ball does get there at the appropriate timing and things of that nature, but you could tell a difference between Aaron Rodgers football and Mason Rudolph's football. Like, I could, at least.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Matt Leiner, I tell the story all the time. Like, you know, Matt Schaub's football compared to his was night and day, and they were NFL quarterbacks, and, you know, one was a starter, one was a backup. You could tell a difference.
Even a boob like me, watching the clips, like Rodgers was letting it go from his ear, he's letting it go from his hip, he's practicing different arm angles, and every single, it doesn't matter what the release point was, that thing was coming out with zipping on time and accurately. And Ray's right, it's not, there's no right defense, it's all on air, but like, one of these things don't look like the other.
Yeah.
I know that I had talked to Tunch and Wolf about this way back when, like Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, OTA's minicamp. They watched him, and they watched Maddox, and they watched Batch, and they went, whoa.
Yep.
That from right away, yep. it just looked different. I found a stat on the Steelers' defense that cuts right to the heart of the matter of what you were talking to Ray about, which is the lack of exotic pressures and moving guys around. We'll give you that stat when we come back and what it might mean for this year's defense.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Got a stat that I'd like to see change for the Steelers this year on the defensive side of things. We'll get to that in a minute. You have the Stanley Cup final that ended last night. You've got Connor McDavid, the game's brightest star right now, who is ringless again, who did nothing in the series from a goal-scoring standpoint and was awful last night. You've got the NBA Finals in full swing. On ESPN right now, they're talking about this as maybe Mike Tomlin's final season as a Steelers head coach. Yes. That's the topic that they have selected today.
Right.
And our guy, Mike Tannenbaum, I say with tongue firmly implanted in cheek, is sitting there opining on this. He hasn't got a single thing right in his entire career at ESPN, and he's got total bedhead this morning.
Yeah, it's like it's messed up. Like, nobody told him. Everybody's just letting him roll. That's on them too. Like, you know, they probably think he's a dork. Like, let this guy go look like a dummy on TV.
He's got his hair parted off to the side, which is a fine look for a gentleman of his age, but the left side of his head, it looks like a Furby.
Yep.
It looks like he rubbed a balloon on the side of his head before getting in there to give his hot take. I'd like to answer the question for ESPN. No, this will not be Mike Tomlin's last season as Steelers head coach. Doesn't mean I wouldn't want that to be the case if things go horribly awry. I feel like I've fired Mike Tomlin each of the last three off seasons, but there is just no basis in that being the case. Mike Tomlin's under contract for a couple of more seasons. The owner obviously holds him in high esteem. He let him pursue Aaron Rodgers for the last 3 months to his own, I think, detriment from a public relations standpoint. Like, Art Rooney II got crushed a bunch because he kept saying, we're going to wait. Now we'll wait a little bit longer on this guy. Meanwhile, it was Mike Tomlin who he allowed to make this decision. So if you're going to give Tomlin that kind of power, it just seems like Tomlin's accruing more and more power, if that's even possible. He's not going anywhere.
No.
And they sucked me in. Look at what they did.
You start talking.
They did. I just wanted to make fun of the dude's hair, and I got sucked in on this. Text us brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. One more aside, and I saw someone tweet this, and I want to give them credit, but I'm not going to be able to find it. Like, thank God Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith don't give a rat's ass about hockey, or else Connor McDavid would be public enemy number one today.
Absolutely. They'd be crushing him.
They would be crushing him in the way that we crushed him, but they'd be going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Murdering the guy right now. All right, I got a statistic on the Steelers here that I'd like to see change this season, and I thought you asked Ray a really good question. Like, are they planning on moving guys around, or is it just going to be Minka 18 yards off the ball and TJ lining up off right tackle over and over again? So the Steelers blitzed more than other teams on average last year. And they blitzed a lot on first down and on second down. But they blitzed 17% on third downs, Doran. That's the third lowest blitz rate on third downs by any team over the past 2 years. So long down a distance, you know they're going to have to throw, and you only blitz 17% of the time?
Don't trust your secondary.
Bingo. I was going to say I hope that Darius Slay plays well, because I think a lot of that was they didn't trust Dante Jackson. Like, you don't want to single him up. He's an easy outlet. Like, okay, here they come. Oh, my God, there's Dante Jackson's guy. He's open. I hope Darius Slay, who graded out well as a man cover guy last year, I hope they trust the secondary to play a little bit more on an island, because as good as TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Cam Hayward are, like, you blitz to create one-on-one matchups. Those guys rarely ever get one-on-one matchups on third down because you know where they're coming from and you can game plan around it. That's the first thing I would guess, Doran, and you would know this way better than me. It's got to be the first thing defensive coordinators are saying in their game planning meetings. All right, third downs, circle this guy, we know where he is. Circle that guy, we know where he is. How about you bring Blitzberg back a little bit, please?
Well, I would like to see also, and I'm not asking you to look this up, but I would like to see who is blitzing too, because I bet you it's the same people blitzing every single time on with those percentages. Like, my thing is like, let TJ blitz whenever he's standing up and moving around and like actually send him on a blitz. I'm sure he has, but I bet you the bulk of those percentages of blitzes on third down or whatever, second down, are the same guys, probably like Peyton Wilson. Probably has the majority of it.
And that's where I'm coming from too, man. Like, Peyton Wilson was a pass rush machine at NC State. He was a great blitzer up the middle. And they haven't used a guy like that really since Vince Williams. Patrick Queen really has been good at that in his career. We didn't see hardly enough of that last year. They haven't had a guy in the slot to be able to do it the way that Mike Hilton did. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not part of the repertoire. But I just think you have guys that have the skill set.
You're right.
And you don't do it. Like, wouldn't it be nice to bring a guy off the edge from time to time with TJ Watt so you could put an offensive lineman in conflict? Like, oh, shoot, what do I do? Like, it's hard enough to block TJ Watt even when he's double teamed. You have a back there to trip, but how about you bring an extra guy off his side every now and again, for goodness sakes?
I mean, I think Peyton Wilson should be the de facto, like, everything. Like, I don't think he should have a position. I think he should drop into coverage. I think he should drop into the flat. I think he should blitz. I think he should run stop. I think he should just do everything. He should not have a position. Like, that's how you play with all the toys in the playroom. Mm-hmm. Like, use him. You know, as we talk about moving guys around, like, if he is considered, if you're game planning for the Steelers and he's considered your Mike, which he wouldn't be, but he'd be a Jack, but he would be a Mike in certain situations where you identify, all right, that's Peyton Wilson, that's who we're going off of. If he's moving around and TJ's moving around, you don't know who is who. Like, you don't know where they're going to end up. So sometimes TJ would end up having to be the Mike because he's standing up, and Peyton Wilson would be the defensive end or the outside backer. And then they cross, and then you get confused, and then that's how you actually get home.
Yeah.
Whenever you do have, or you don't want to count on your back end too much, that's how you get home. I don't think they had the confidence of getting home to the quarterback, one, and they also didn't have the confidence on the back end to hold up in man coverage. So use your guys this year. Like, you have to.
They had been number one in the league in sacks like the last 6 years until last year, and it was just not the kind of pressure we're used to seeing, and I think it's because they were way too predictable, man. And
it's so easy to just, whenever you have a vanilla defense and you have somebody like TJ Watt that you know is going to be on the left side, like, yeah, he's a, you know, he's the one of the best at his positions, but I know that he's just rushing up the field or he's stunting across my face and he's going in the C gap. There's only a two-way go for TJ. That's very easy to prepare for.
Right. I'm just going to throw a bunch of bodies at that guy. And Myles Garrett, another reason why I think TJ's a lot actually better, maybe not a lot, but I think he's better than Myles Garrett is because I do think they do a much better job of utilizing him than the Steelers do with TJ. And I think TJ is absolutely capable of it. I mean, we saw them drop him into coverage against the Rams, and he had that pick off of Stafford. Like, we know he can drop into coverage. Use him more creatively. He can do it. Texter writes in, Adam, almost every morning around 8 a.m., you comment that you're having a bad day or something similar to that. Have a Zin or coffee, my guy. I've never felt more exposed.
You said you're having a bad day? Must have missed it.
I made fun of Callis before I did my Gherkin read, and it turns out that I misheard him.
Oh.
So I had just made fun of Ray for something that Caboli said, and then I made fun of Callis for something that he actually didn't say.
Yeah, you made fun of Callis earlier, too, and then you got instant karma electrocuted.
I said, Harry, how about no more bathroom breaks? And then the second he got back, I said, can you throw in 3 more minutes of commercials and move some commercials around? Because now I have to go. Karma, man.
Yeah.
That's just how that works every time with you and me.
Pirates losers last night to the Detroit Tigers, and they scored 3 runs in their first 3 innings and then only had 1 base runner the rest of the game. We'll talk to John Wehner about last night's defeat, Tarik Skubal on the mound today, Paul Skeens tomorrow for the Buccos. First, though, I remind you, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, yeah. John Wehner joins us right now. Good morning to you, Rock. How you doing today?
I'm doing swell. How are you guys?
Swell, you out there golfing today?
Actually, I am.
Actually, I am.
All right, John. Yeah. I'm happy. I mean, get it in, because God knows we got enough rain around here to ruin so many golf rounds the last couple of weeks. Tried to do the best to ruin the U.S. Open, and some arguably would say that it did. But, John, Don Kelly said after that Cubs series that the Pirates are close. And we talked about that a bunch yesterday. Do you see what he's seeing, that the Pirates are close?
Well, they're close every game. Well, not last night, but, you know, every game they're in it. They got to get more offense. They got to find a way to score more runs. The pitching, it's one of the better pitching staffs in baseball.
Yes.
I mean, you figure you got our starting staff has been excellent. Our bullpen's been excellent. We got to be able to take some pressure off them and get a lead. You know, we've had a couple of leads here the last couple of games, but gave them up right away. And again, it's like a broken record, but there's guys with track records that just haven't figured it out yet, you know, and need to start swinging the bat better.
John, do you want to see Bubba Chandler up here now, or do you think we should wait a little bit longer?
Great question. I know he has struggled his last couple times out. You know, I've talked to a couple scouts and say, you know, he's obviously very talented, but he's not exactly landing his breaking balls and hasn't had great command of it. And I don't think he can get away with just the fastball, even though he throws 100. But if there was a need, I would say, yeah, let's go. But right now, with our rotation, the way they're throwing, you know, Burrows is throwing the ball great. It's hard for me to sit here and say, we're going to take Burrows out of the rotation. His last three starts have been pretty good, although he hasn't gone real deep. But he has good stuff. And I think, from what I'm understanding, Chandler has some things to work on. I mean, obviously, he had a great April, great May. He slowed down a little bit in June. But I think he's a guy that will be here sooner and later. And I, as far as I'm concerned, why rush him up here when there's not a pressing need? Now, if he was a position player, I'm like, yeah, let's get him up here now. But, you know, our pitching staff hasn't been a problem.
That's well said. I want to see him because he's so highly touted. And I'm really excited about him. And I realize that, I mean, everything you're saying are things that we heard. And when we hear it from you, obviously, it carries a lot of weight. I'm excited because he's more talented than the Ashcrafts of the world, than Majinski was. And I know Majinski didn't have his best outing last night, but I mean, those guys in the bullpen, I think your bullpen sort of settled into a nice place. And you're right on Burrows, man. He's been really good. He's got a higher strikeouts per nine than Paul Skeens. And his last two starts, he's really figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And it's like I said, it's, man, I sit here and think about all the pitching. I think of Ashcraft. I think of Burrows. I think of Isaac Mattson. I think of all these guys and the job they're doing and how much more we have. Barco, Bubba Chandler, Harrington, you know. It's, to me, a very interesting dilemma, and you start wondering, well, do you trade some assets for – do you trade some pitching assets for some offense? You know, I mean, to me, you almost feel like you have to, you know, just because that's where we're lacking. That's where we're struggling. If we had, you know, a decent middle lineup guy, you know, it's a different story. You know, and, you know, until we get that, you know, our pitching is going to suffer. I hate to say it, but what we see with Mitch and with Skeens and their records and with how well they've pitched, it's maddening.
John, there was a play yesterday whenever O'Neill Cruz was in the outfield where I was like, wow, this guy has really taken a step forward in the outfield. There was a little dribbler to the outfield, and he ran up on it, scooped it up. The runner on second was headed to third, and he kind of fake threw to third, and he ran the ball in. Like, that was, to me, a huge growing moment in O'Neill Cruz playing center field, because whenever he first started, he would have tried to fire it at the third baseman, try to get the guy out. Ball would have probably went somewhere else. The guy would have probably scored. To me, that was a nice little sign that he is really picking up playing center field.
Yeah, he's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, he's definitely figured it out some. You know, I think he's slowing it down where it used to be because he has such a strong arm. He thinks he can throw everybody out, you know. And, you know, I think he's kind of realizing that there's only certain opportunities to throw people out from out there. And, you know, I think when he came up and saw that guy going, I don't know if he didn't know how fast he was, but he realized, you know, he had no chance. The guy was around the bag by the time he got to the ball. So I think he made the right decision. Yeah, keep that double play in order. Flip it to the second baseman or run it in or whatever. But, yeah, he's done so much better. You know, I was a little concerned the first couple weeks of the season. The decision-making was, you know, at times questionable. He had some errors, unforced errors. But, yeah, I think he's going to have more fun out there. It's a fun position to play. You know, you're in front of everything. You get to run and use that talent that he has. And he'll get his opportunities to throw, but I think it's smart for him to, you know when to or when not to.
John, walk us through what it's like to play a round of golf with you. You walk in 18 today? You riding the cart around?
Well, I'll do both, but mostly I ride. But no, I have a blast. I'm not very good, but I love it. I have a good old time, and you know, no matter who I'm with, we're just out here just having a good old time. You know, it's you know, some good, some bad, but we'll have fun. We got to get out together someday.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going for. We would love to do that, John. Thank you for your invitation. We'll take you up on it.
Okay. I mean, we got to do it. It got to be fun. I know Dan. I know Dorn has that banana ball I've heard about. I want to see that banana ball.
You'll see it.
And I have better luck when I throw the thing. All right, John, get back to your round. We appreciate your time, as always.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take it easy. That'd be a blast.
He's breathing heavy.
That's why I was asking. I mean,
well, we kind of know at this point.
I mean, I was hoping, though, that he was walking 18 for him to be that out of breath.
Not doing something else.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Could have been doing all kinds of other things, breathing heavy.
Meanwhile, Bob, on Monday, coming out of the Open, he wasn't here. He had a golf event he was doing at Laurel Valley. We just heard Wehner. He takes a break from the golf. He's walking to his ball or whatever it is. Pomp was playing while he was on with Starkey, and he teed off. Pretty good tee shot. Live on the air. And then he was really pleased with himself.
Ooh.
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 Oh, my goodness.
Is he wearing the AirPods out there? He's talking probably to Starkey. He's like, oh, wait a second here. I'm going to line myself for a 4-foot birdie putt. Only Bob can get away with that. I think Wehner brought up what has really become the story of the Pirates season now the rest of the way, and that's Bubba Chandler is their number one prospect, the number two prospect in all of baseball. I guess, I mean, technically number one now that Roman Anthony has made it to the big leagues, and we've already seen the success. Majinski not good last night, but in the bullpen, I think that's a really good place for him. Ashcraft's been really good. Burrows, who's not thought of anywhere near the same stratosphere as Bubba Chandler, he's pitched well his last couple times out. He's striking everybody out. You've got a ton of pitching depth. He talked about Barco and some others. The story of the rest of the Pirates season is flipping some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got major league guys that you could part with. Four damn hitters. Let's go. That's what the rest of the season is about. It's about seeing what you can do under Don Kelly. It's about certain guys who are position players who are going to be here next year. And then it's about acquiring position players that can set you up to actually win with the pitching that you do have. I don't trust Ben Charrington to be the guy to get it done, but hey, that's the seat he's in right now. You got to start making moves.
Yeah.
And if that means you have to part from a Burrows, you have to part from an Ashcraft, you have to part from a Barco, you have to part from a Keller or a Falter, definitely going to be Andrew Heaney. I'm not saying all these guys, but some combination of them to get hitters, that's what you got to do, damn it.
You would think that Charrington would look at this situation like almost in desperation where he would have to do that just to save his job, right?
That's what I don't understand.
You would think, unless he feels like he has, you know, unlimited security, which I don't think that that's the case.
It can't be, because like Derek Shelton too, man. Derek Shelton was dead man walking, and he's still running Tommy Pham out there every day. And Tommy Pham's still on this roster. Like, if I'm Ben Charrington, I'm doing everything I can to save my job, and one of those things would be getting rid of Tommy Pham. Like, the wins and losses in year six have to mean something, and you're carrying that dead weight around? You're right. There is zero sense of urgency here, which is very, very weird. It's bizarre, even. All right, coming up next, we can react more to what Golfing Wehner had to say. But a big-time star is returning to one of America's favorite competition. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Here's what they're discussing on ESPN Now. LeBron James on NBA ring culture, quote, "A ring is a team accomplishment. I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport," end quote. Well, that's because there's five of you out there. And if you're really good, you're going to have a massive impact on the game. Also, again, Connor McDavid, very lucky that ESPN cares not about hockey at all, because you've got a great player who now just went 0 for his last two opportunities to win a championship, and they're talking about a guy in a sport where he's not currently playing for a championship right now. God, I love ESPN.
Well, there's PK Subban, so you know he's going to probably bring in the McDavid conversation.
Good.
Did PK win one?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay. He was on the Predators team that lost to the Penguins
in
2017.
That's what
I just typed in PK Subban to basketball reference, because we were just having an interesting conversation off the air about the best white NBA player of all time.
You can't say Bird or West.
And you can't say Bird or West. And so then we landed, I think, on John Stockton, but he never won a championship. Not saying he wasn't great.
American white American.
Right, because Dirk Nowitzki.
Right. Luka.
Yeah.
I guess it would be Stockton, huh?
So then I typed in PK Subban to NBAReference.com. No wonder it didn't yield any results. Meanwhile, a great American hero, Joey Chestnut, returning, Doran. I don't know if you saw this.
I did see that.
To the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He was not in it last year because of some sort of sponsorship conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. I wonder if we're doing a fan hot dog eating contest again or if that's a one-off.
Yeah, didn't Callis lose?
Callis did lose. I think he was the overwhelming favorite going in, and T-Bird won.
Right.
I lost by half a hot dog.
Is
those
that all?
Were big. Yeah.
I think they
five
were
and
the,
a half.
They were like the equivalent of 1.5 hot dogs. You probably put down like 12, 13
they were a
actual
pound
hot
each.
Dogs.
Oh, jeez. And I have five just, and a half.
That sounds terrible.
I ate 8 hot dogs this weekend.
No, you didn't.
I did.
The whole weekend?
If I'd go from Saturday until Monday evening, I ate 8 hot dogs.
8 hot dogs?
Yeah, because I grilled way too many. We had our Father's Day celebration on Saturday because I was going to the U.S. Open on Sunday. And I had a hot dog there, and then I had leftover hot dogs, and I had leftover hot dogs on Monday, too. 8 hot dogs.
Nah, that's terrible.
And just leftover baked beans every time.
No, I like baked beans a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I could eat that many hot dogs.
I still have a burger left over I'm going to hit up today from Saturday. Is that too old?
For me, it is. It's Wednesday.
Harry, can I eat a...
Don't ask him.
Doug, can you turn Doug's mic on real quick? Doug Whaley joining us from 9 until 10, or I guess I should say from 8:54 until 10. Doug, could I eat a hamburger that I grilled on Saturday today?
Absolutely.
My man. That's,
hey, as long as you store it properly in the fridge.
How do I store it properly? Just in an airtight container?
Yeah, and just make sure it's in the fridge.
Why couldn't I be asked this question?
Well, because we feel like, well, I'm not going to speak for Doran, but I feel like you might be a little more loosey-goosey on your leftover rules.
Right.
And the key for a leftover burger is the proper way to reheat heat. Do not throw it in the microwave.
How would you reheat it?
Back on the grill?
Back on the grill on low heat or in the oven in foil. So you keep the moistness in
that way you don't dry it out.
Yeah.
Harry,
you don't get a hockey puck.
Yeah, because if you do microwave it does. I mean, you're breaking teeth and you're breaking molars. Harry, would you eat it on a Wednesday after Saturday?
Depends how it's preserved. But yeah, if I had it in the fridge, sure.
Let's go. And I don't like to... I like to add the cheese again. I don't like to reheat it with cheese on top.
No.
Nasty.
I don't have very many rules on life. I really give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. But there is one rule where if you do not believe that food off a charcoal grill is better than a gas grill, we probably 99.9% we have nothing in common.
Can't be friends.
Can't be.
Charcoal grill absolutely clears.
And, yeah. And that's why I think, especially a burger off a charcoal grill a couple days later.
Sets in. The charcoal sets in.
Forget about it.
He went in.
Yep.
I think that's the universal end of any debate or conversation. Once you hit someone with a pfft, you win. Yeah. A lot of people are saying Pistol Pete Maravich. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm just happy we got the throat goat back. Our guy.
The what?
Throat goat.
Who's the throat goat?
Joey Chestnut.
Whoa. I don't know if I want that nickname.
Yeah, do you know the throat
goat? Isn't that his nickname? The throat goat?
I don't think so.
I hope it's not the throat goat.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you better retract that or look that up.
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody wants to be known as
I'm not
the
even
going to
say it.
Though, unless you're OnlyFans.
Yeah.
No, he's nicknamed the Throat Goat.
Who says where?
AI Overview. Joey Chestnut, nicknamed the Throat Goat, is a competitive eater returning to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest after a one-year hiatus.
I've never read that anywhere, but all right.
If you eat 76 hot dogs...
I'll tell you this. Whenever I think of Throat Goat, I don't think of hot dog eating contests.
Or Joey Chestnut.
Or Joey Chestnut.
All right, I'll... Okay.
All right.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 81. That's Phil Kessel's number. He famously liked hot dogs. He really did. Low of 69, 65% chance of rain. Doug going to join us for a full hour to talk about football-related things. Text line is telling me that throat goat means something else. It's Fan Morning Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.